atheists say that we don't need spirituality for happiness because neuroscientific research shows how the states of the brain cells determine happiness. And once we understand this, then we can make everyone happy accordingly through this knowledge. So that's why there is no need for any spirituality for happiness. How do we answer this question? Answer: there are many unexamined, unproven assumptions in the idea that neuroscientific research will make people happy. Let's look at these assumptions one by one. The first idea is that happiness is nothing but a brain phenomena. The idea that our emotions and our experiences of those emotions can be reduced to the flow of electricity through the brain cells is completely unproven. Certainly, there is a correlation between our emotional states and the brain cells, because the brain is the tool through which the emotions are, the emotional activity happens to some extent. Just as when a person smiles, there is a certain way in which the facial expressions are expressed. Facial muscles contract and expand accordingly. Similarly, certain things happen in the brain cell, but it is not that the contraction and the expansion of the facial muscles is all that there is to happiness. It is not that they are the cause of happiness, nor is the contraction expansion of facial muscle equivalent to happiness. Similarly, the certain brain cells may be firing and certain patterns of activities may be happening in those brain cells when we are happy. But this doesn't at all prove that happiness is nothing but the firing of the brain cells, and those brain cells firing is itself happiness. So this is basically a fundamental. Many scientists are not philosophers, and that's why they, because of lacking even preliminary philosophical understanding, they make fundamental mistakes while drawing inferences from their observations. Here the difference is between causality and correlation. Two things may be correlated, but that doesn't mean one causes the other. So yes, when I am happy, my face muscles expand in a particular way. It means happiness and face muscles are correlated. But does this prove that the movement of the face muscles causes happiness? No. Similarly, the activation of certain brain cells doesn't prove that they are the cause of happiness. There is correlation over here. It's not causality. So this is the first unexamined, unproven assumption. The second assumption is that in future, scientists will be able to, in exhaustive detail, analyze the neural correlates of all our emotions, including happiness. The brain is itself like a massive universe, much, much more complex than anything else that we have studied in the human body or anywhere else. And increasingly, scientists are finding out that most experiences, especially intense experiences, are not localized to one part of the brain, but the experiences are distributed over various parts of the brain. So therefore, finding out the correlation is extremely difficult. It has not been found out. And to actually find it out in exhaustive detail is a massive task. So even granting, so first of all, it has not been done, but even granting for the argument's sake, it is done. The third more important question arises, can we, even after we understand in detail the electrochemical and physiological mechanisms that go on in the brain when a person feels happy, can we control or replicate those mechanisms at will? To consider a parallel example, we know that there is a substantial difference between the working of a digestive system of a person who is hungry and the working of the digestive system of a person who has eaten a nourishing and nutritionally balanced meal. But exhaustive physiological knowledge of the difference between these two digestive systems doesn't solve the problem of world hunger. Why? Because even when we know the difference, what is important is that there has to be food available by which the digestive system of the hungry person can be made to work the way the digestive system of a well-fed person works. So the knowledge of what happens within the body in digestion is not enough to provide nutrition. There has to be an external factor, there is an external factor involved, and that is food. Similarly, even if we come to know in detail the way the neuronal, the brain cells and electrochemical signals within those brain cells go or function during the time when a person is happy, and we can in detail compare the brain state of a happy person and the brain state of a unhappy person, but that will not solve the problem of happiness, because these cells are so complex that to change the brain state artificially is nearly impossible. And even if we say we are doing it artificially, we are doing it through some external mechanism. So in that sense, it's outside the person. And we cannot constantly, and science fiction movies may show something like this, that you have on your head a button called happiness button. Press that button and we'll become happy. But that is embarrassingly simplistic. It's from the scientific perspective, the complexity of neuroscience, that will be ridiculously simplistic. So even if we could find out the brain state of a person who is happy, to replicate that brain state in the brain of an unhappy person is a nearly impossible task. It is like replicating the digestive system of a well-fed person in the body of a hungry person. So we have to go make sure that the external factors are arranged. We may be able to hypothetically by transferring a functioning health digestive system from replicating a functional digestive system from a well-fed person to a starving person, we might temporarily make that person feel well-fed, but after that there has to be a regular intake of food over there. Only then the digestive system will stay well functional. Similarly, even if somehow neuroscientists, as the atheist side claims, that in future if neuroscientists could replicate the brain state of a happy person in the brain of an unhappy person, that would at best make the person only temporarily happy, momentarily happy. And then as soon as some external stimuli comes in, the happiness and that external stimuli is not conducive to the person's likes, then the person will become unhappy. So, at best, neuroscience may be able to control the brain states, but neuroscience doesn't control the whole world. And so, unless people develop a right attitude towards the events that happen in the world, just fiddling with the brain can never provide lasting happiness. In essence, the idea of fiddling with the brain to try to become happy is very similar to the idea of watching a comedy show to become happy. The comedy show puts us in an artificial situation where we are given happiness-inducing stimuli. So, the same thing is done in a far more high-tech way. Of course, whether it can be done or not is a serious question. But assuming it can be done, still, we are creating in a high-tech way the replica of happiness-inducing stimuli within the person. Instead of outside the person, we put it inside the person. But that is, just as a comedy show, is a temporary thing. Similarly, this thing, even if it happens, it will be temporary. And after that, the person has to face the real world. And in that real world, there is always the challenge of how that person will deal with the ups and downs of the world. So for dealing with the ups and downs of the world, one needs spiritual wisdom. One needs faith in God. One needs an understanding of the eternality of one's being. And all this can come only through spirituality. So neuroscience can not provide a substitute for the lasting happiness that can come only.